afternoon. It is 1 bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe. I am up in the captain's chair, and I'm joined today by the highly skilled Dan Schuler, who is engineering for me. And that is partially because Captain O'Brien is off acting in some Shakespearean experience, some Shakespearean play at the down in the state of Oregon. And so Dan is engineering for me, and for which I am enormously grateful because he is skilled and your captain is not. My greetings today go to all of Captain Joe's people who have traveled and have returned safely from their travels, because I have returned safely from all of my travels, and I will have a short but pithy commentary on that a little bit later on in the broadcast. I'm sitting in the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio, and I am looking across at the signboard, which is at the church across the street from the Gene Bosch, and the sign says something about sunshine. Well, it is not sunny today here on the magical Isle of Vashon, but the command from the pastor of that church is for all of us to be sunny and sunshiny, and it is my wish, my desire, and my command that that be the case. The binnacle list today does not bring with it any of Captain Joe's people who have crossed the bar, but some significant changes to be reported, and one event that is so heartwarming to me that I may even have squeezed out a small tear at the corner of my captainly eyes. So first of all, there are a number of people who are, since last week when I was broadcasting from the rest stop I believe that was not in Minnesota, but Montana. In any case, the changes are as follows. People like my dear friend Ed, who entrusted me with a Fresnel lens and with a custom-made chair, which are now still on my deck and occupying a place of treasure and value. Ed got some significant testing going on, and a couple more of my people, John, who is one of our administrators for the Coast Guard Channel, and Mike from the Coast Guard Channel, all of whom are either have tests coming up or are awaiting the results of tests already taken. And it is my hope and my wish and certainly my command that everyone continue to fulfill the requirements laid on them by their medical practitioners so that they will leave the binnacle list in the approved fashion. The event which happened to bring just a little bit of a tear to my eye is my friend Jim, who lives in Annapolis, Maryland. I had seen Jim not too long ago with his family. We were able to have a meal together, and I felt at that time that Jim would benefit from getting up off of the couch, diverting his attention from the television set and getting out into doing some physical activity. And I checked all this out with his family, and in particular with his daughter, who is his manager of his care. And I said, I'm going to get a custom-made walking stick for Jim. Not a cane, not a walker, but a custom-made walking stick for Jim. And ask you to present it to him with suitable ceremony and see if we can't get him out and do some hiking with one of these walking sticks. So I went to a company called Brazos. I've talked about them before on this broadcast. I went to them And I had a walking stick made out of oak. And it has an Air Force seal on it because Jim is an Air Force veteran. He's retired from NSA. And it is engraved with his name. And I sent it to, I had them send it to me so that I could inspect it and make sure that all of the requirements that I had laid on Brazos in the fabrication of the stick had been followed, and that is exactly what happened. And so I then sent it on to Chris for presentation. Today was the presentation, and she sent me a photograph. And there's a photograph, actually two of them, of Jim holding the walking stick in preparation for what I hope is a significant hike in the park that they have chosen. In the presentation, Chris, his daughter, told him that he and I, as brothers in arms, both have walking sticks made by this same company, and therefore we are brothers as we hike together. And it is my hope, my wish, and certainly my command that Jim will accept this gift in the spirit in which it is intended, and that is for a little bit more activity on his part as well as mine. Yes, even as well as mine. Today I received a couple of, that is the binnacle list. And for all of the people who are on the binnacle list, as always, all hands are in the palm of my hand. And you've already received my wishes about following the instructions of your medical practitioner. So it's time for all of these results to come in with good reports. In my own case, I continue to be more than just steady as she goes. Now, we cannot put too fine a point on it. And the point is this. When one has the significant number of chronological years that I carry wrapped around my shoulders and which I bring up into the captain's chair each time that I do this broadcast, I am aware of the weight of those years. And yet that weight seems to be lighter and lighter every week. The voice of Vashon and the Vashon ability, my ability to be part of the island community through the voice of Vashon, and my ability to continue to talk to you each week, and in particular to my Coast Guard people on the Coast Guard channel, are the things which are helping me to continue to have that feeling. The whole business of Mr. Foley seems to me to be bobbing around in the wake of brash ice astern of me. And although I continue to carry a self-inserting piece in my flight bag and also in my luggage when I travel, and I am going to be traveling starting tomorrow. Again, I'll talk about that in a minute. I continue to carry those things as a precautionary measure, sort of the DC kit in repair one. For all of you people who have been to sea with me or been to sea with other captains, you all know where repair one is. And that's where the pieces that I carry with me, just in case, just like shoring timbers, we carry them just in case. A piece came to me today about the Coast Guard cutter Tampa. The Coast Guard cutter Tampa in September of 1918 was sunk with all hands, not only Coast Guard people, but also some Royal Navy people. And she was the, and it was right at the end of World War I. Tampa was the largest number of combat fatalities. She was sunk by a U-boat. And it is the largest number of combat fatalities in naval warfare during World War I. Her hulk has been now found, and that's what brings her and brought her to my attention. So there is always a Tampa in the Coast Guard fleet. There is a Tampa today. And there will certainly, I believe, always be one, as there will always be a Midget, and there will always be a Hamilton, and there will always be a Monroe. And that's because the people for whom these cutters are named are significant to us for their heroics, or for, in the case of Hamilton, their founding efforts on the what started out as the Revenue Cutter Service in 1790, and that we know today as the Coast Guard. I hope that Tampa will be left where she is. I hope that Endurance will be left where she is. Nobody diving on either of them. Endurance is protected by the Antarctic Treaty. Tampa has no such protection. And I remain appalled at the way that Titanic has been stripped. Let Tampa rest in honor in the grave which she now occupies. I was asked to join the Coast Guard Combat Veterans Association, and a shipmate, a Vietnam shipmate, sent me all of the material about it, and I have not yet done anything about it. But I am reminded that it is time for me to do that because the name of the organization has just been changed from the Coast Guard Combat Veterans to the Coast Guard Combat and Expeditionary Veterans Association. I have not yet looked at all of the membership requirements. I am certainly eligible as a combat veteran, but I probably am also eligible as an expeditionary veteran. After all, one must have an expedition to Antarctica in order to have a glacier named for one. So having been reminded of the Coast Guard Combat and now Expeditionary Veterans Association, I will find the materials that were sent to me by my shipmate, Dick, and submit my application for approval by the board and the whatever the cost is, because I support organizations like that. I support them financially. I support them emotionally. And when I'm entitled to membership in one, I support it in that way as well. Earth Day was last week. And in G Captain today, in my traffic today, some good news about what the connection of Earth Day to the Blue Sky program. We've talked about it before on this program, and we'll talk about it some more, I'm sure, because it is something that I feel very strongly about, and that is the protection of the whales, and in particular, the blue whale, the big blue whales. All of this has to do with the ships along the California coast reducing their speed in an area where these whales are known to transit. And the beginning of the program for this year coincides exactly, and what a coincidence, coincidentally, with Earth Day. In the meantime, in talking about my trip, which has now come to an end, but successfully I drove over about 3,000 miles. And I found that I am still able to do that. I cannot drive 800 or 900 miles as I did when I was driving cars for Auto Driveaway, but I could handle 500 miles easily and still be able to stand upright and get out of the car on my own at the end of a 500-mile day. So there were two things that I am going to remark on here. The first one is that one of the things that we did was to go to Mount Rushmore. Pam had never been to Mount Rushmore, and so we looked on the Park District website and found that if we were to go there at night, that they would have it lighted. It would be too early in the season for there to be any program, but we would be able to see the faces of the four presidents lighted up if we were to go after dark. So we found our accommodation in Rapid City, South Dakota, and drove down. Once it became dark, we drove down to Mount Rushmore, paying our $10 fee to go through an unmanned gate. We drove in and realized that if we were to skate on the edge of the law just a little bit, we could drive our motor car up into an area which normally is for tour buses and thus get closer to the faces of the four presidents. And this we did. And we even parked in a space which says park only by tour buses. But there were no people of the law. In fact, there were no people, hardly any people at all. And the lighting is spectacular. It is well worth a trip from Rapid City, Dakota, to make a side trip down to see the four faces, the four presidents, at Mount Rushmore. The next day, we went to back to that same general area because we wanted to see the memorial to the American Indian, which is called the Crazy Horse Memorial. The interesting thing about this particular place is that all of the work that's being done, only the beginning of Crazy Horse's face has come out of the rock yet, and his hand. But eventually there's going to be Crazy Horse sitting on a horse, blasted out of the rock. And all of this is being paid for by private donation. I suspect also that some of it is being paid by the Indian Gaming Act. But none of it is coming from federal or state funds. No official money is going into this. Connected to it is a complex of a museum and, yes, the inevitable gift shop. Parenthetical insertion, you cannot get out of Westminster Abbey in London without going through the gift shop. They cunningly route you that the exit goes right through the gift shop. End of parenthetical insertion. And so we were able to drive where we could see. And this is the perfect time to do all of this because the weather is decent. And with the exception of the snowstorm, which was with us on the next to last day all across Montana. Snowstorm up in the high plains, lots of snow, lots of wind, up to 50 knots. But skillfully managed by your captain at the helm. And so that's my observation about things that we saw with which we were impressed. My other observation is connected to something nautical, and that has to do with the wind farms. There is a section in the Midwest where there are hundreds of them. The wind blowing, and we observed that on one side of the interstate, Interstate 90, there were windmills turning, and on the other side they were not. And I inferred from that they run the wind farm depending on what the electrical load or the electrical need is. But once we got out of that part of the country and into the farther west, in areas where there was an equal amount of wind, we noticed that there were no wind farms at all. But in the Midwest, there are hundreds of them in these great big fields. And in my traffic today on G Captain was an article about how the wind farm permits issued by the federal government for windmills which are standing in the water are being canceled by the current administration and shifting permitting over to drilling for oil. I make no commentary on the rightness or wrongness of that decision. That's not in keeping with my mission on this broadcast, which is to make all of us feel just a little bit better about ourselves and the world in which we in which we live. But it is an interesting observation in any case. So we just had Earth Day, lots of windmills. We saw lots of windmills. The blue whales are doing well or is better, much better than they were. And that's because of the Blue Sky program. And yet we continue to turn off the permits for building them in the water and going back to oil rigs. I will have more to say about all of that without a political commentary as this whole thing develops. The book today is not really a book. It is a sort of magazine from the Coast Guard. I've got to take a cough here. Called The Long Blue Line. And it is a publication that is put out by the Coast Guard Retired Center. And this issue, the cover story on this issue, is the commandant's, what does he call it there? He calls it the commandant's intent. And it is a two-page document where the commandant of the Coast Guard tells all of us who are wearers of the shield what it is his intent to accomplish during the rest of his time as the commandant. And one of the things that he talks about is the huge amount of money that was appropriated in what is euphemistically called something like the Great Big Bill. I am sending up a warning, a yellow flare here. We've already seen a cutback of what was declared to be a huge expansion of the Coast Guard base here in Seattle. And I believe that is emblematic of other cuts that are going to be coming. We have seen where appropriated money and other activities has been rescinded and diverted to other things. And be not surprised. Be not surprised. Be aware of the possibility that this huge construction program, Cutter construction program, is going to come to pass in a much truncated form. I intend to live long enough to attend the commissioning ceremony for the first of the Arctic security cutters, but should that not happen, I will not be surprised. What that will mean, of course, is that Polar Star will need to sailor on even longer. Ex-IVIC, now called Storis, will be pushed to her limits. May she not have any beset casualties? I am really skeptical of that one. But the warning that I am putting out is that there is a huge amount of money that was appropriated for the Coast Guard. And yet we're beginning to see some of the cutback. I remain skeptical. And I also, part of this expansion is in the number of sailors that are being recruited. I remain skeptical that all of those people will also be recruited. But if we're going to have this huge fleet, then we're going to have many more sailors to man them, many more captains to command them. Join me in a healthy skepticism that all of these great plans are going to, in fact, come to pass. Emblematic of all of this is a message to all Coast Guard people, which says that the number of young people coming into the Coast Guard is going to dramatically increase, and that means that they all need to be trained. And the inference from this particular all Coast is that if young sailors do not elect to go to what we call in the Coast Guard an A school, in other words, the first level of training after boot camp, that sailors will be selected to go to A school, and those selections will be based on their test scores. I remain skeptical yet once again. I am a great believer in the full training and experience of all of our sailors. In the commandant's intent, there was a lot of language. It will take a while. It's only 2 pages long, but it will take a lot while to navigate through the minefields of that language. But one thing that the commandant did say was that the chief petty officers are the backbone of the service. With that, do I heartily agree, because as I have said here many, many times, and will say again many, many times, I was raised by chief petty officers. If I have any skills at all as a captain, I learned some of those skills and much about how to work with my crews from the chiefs that raised me in my first command. In the meantime, shipbuilding in the Navy continues to be fraught with peril and with difficulties. It seems to me that a thorough rousing out, cleaning, and restowing of the shipbuilding gear locker, what is called in the Navy, I believe it is the Navy Ships Command, would be indicated here. And maybe restart. For example, I see that the destroyer Zumwalt, one of three that nobody knows what they can do and what to do with them, has had a fire. And I am looking at my watch, and my watch tells me that it is time for your captain to say that we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And Dan is peering over at me and getting ready to secure. So this is, as always, your Captain Joe. I am on station and watching properly. Okay, over to you, Dan.
Hey, you switched it back to automation?
Huh?
You switched it back to automation?
I did. Yep, she's on automation right now.
Okay.
You want to try it now?